Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Out of ABC News, in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd in police custody, Oregon has released the names of over 17 officers whose transgressions over the last 50 years were so serious that they were banned from working in law enforcement in the state. These names went up online. It came after the state legislature created a law requiring the state to set up a public database of officers whose certification has been revoked or suspended. The website includes a spreadsheet with the names of decertified officers going back to 1971. And the story here lists a lot of cases that are up there that we can talk about here in a second. But they said in the absence of an official nationwide database, this is a nonprofit that maintains the website intended to be a national registry of certificate or license revocations. So they have gone back 50 years and said, these are the officers that we have fired because of problems with on the force.
I don't like it.
Putting them up online?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Why?
A couple of reasons. First of all, I have no problem at all with a professional database like they're talking about. I mean, the point behind that would be to let somebody know if somebody's been, you know, if they've had their ability to enforce the law revoked in the state of Oregon, and that guy thinks, oh, I'll just go work in Texas. Texas should be able to find that out. That's right. I mean, that just sounds logical to me. That's perfectly smart. But when you put something like that on a public website, then what are you trying to accomplish? And that seems to me like inviting retribution. That's giving the public information that, you know, whether or not they have a right to it, I guess you could make the case. But I guess my question would be, what's the point? I mean, that just seems like piling on and embarrassing somebody who's already been fired.
Well, and beyond that, it's not just people who have been fired. It's there are different terms that are used that are not necessarily fired, but like reprimanded and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the things that can get you decertified are things like an officer calling in sick for his shift while drunk at a college football game. Two really serious things like aggravated battery, drug use, and homicide. Mm-hmm. What I don't like about this is that you're treating all of those infractions the same.
Yeah.
Some of that would be public knowledge anyway.
That's an excellent point. If they're convicted
of a crime, yep, that's going to be public knowledge anyway. I differentiate between criminal and not criminal behavior, mm-hmm, you know, but also do you not, if you make these names public, are you not setting the department up for some kind of lawsuit from a person who is smart enough to check that database after they're pulled over for speeding or whatever? And are you not setting that officer up to be sued for some kind of discrimination or profiling or something? Because somebody can look at that officer's background and say, well, see, he's got a pattern.
So you could say, right. So if an officer does go get a job in another state, then
right,
somebody can look at that and go, ooh, that's the guy. Yeah,
yeah,
and set him up for something
of behavior
that maybe he's not guilty of. Yeah, I see a lot of problems with this. I think there is a way to do what they say they're trying to do. I just don't think this is the right way to do it.
Yeah, so what if, to John's point about having a registry that is available internally for police departments, because the story gets into that, there's an argument to do a registry that, and I guess there is one, the NDI, I don't know what that stands for, is voluntary. So there is a voluntary national database that is used for law enforcement agencies, that, but that's voluntary, you know? And so if you don't want to participate in it, you know, you don't have to. I think the fear in not making it public is that, or in the fear of making it voluntary, is that police departments aren't going to check.
Yeah.
When the guy goes to a new department and gets a new job, that police are going to protect their own and not do their diligence to check and see what this person had been accused of in the past.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, this is kind of bringing in a separate issue, but there are things that I think should be mandatory reports that aren't. And, you know, when you've got something like this, you're talking about an officer. If this is being done by the state of Oregon, you've got an officer who already cannot be an officer in the state of Oregon. So you're fixing a problem that doesn't exist. When what we don't have is information that could be a lot more useful to the public about law enforcement that is happening as it is. For example, the shootings by police officers, the numbers on those are very, very sketchy because police departments don't have to report them. So they don't.
Right.
And we don't know. I mean, you say how many people were shot in altercations with police each year? We don't know. We can make some pretty educated guesses at it. But as far as what the hard numbers are, those aren't available. That's the kind of thing that, and that's ongoing law enforcement. That's somebody who is still employed. And it doesn't mean that any of those shootings are justified or not, but just having those numbers is a useful thing to the public, and knowing more information rather than less. But giving me information about a guy who's no longer on the force and can't be, that just seems like piling on.
And so we can talk about the fact that this goes back 50 years. If you want to, you know, find a middle ground in this somewhere, that it depends on why they were fired. You know, was it because he was late for work all, you know, a bunch of times, because that would get you fired? To me, that's different than a shooting, you know? And so maybe some of that information should be public. But if the guy was just, or girl was just, late to work a lot, or something that wouldn't affect how they interact with the public, then does the public need to know that? 576-7798 or text in 913-576-7798. Let's get one quick call on here before we go to news at the bottom of the hour. We'll go to Shawnee first and get Johnny on the line with us. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, I really appreciate you, Jamie and Grayson. I really appreciate the way you all are unbiased when you cover these issues and everything. I just really had to call in on this one as far as the police officers' backgrounds being publicized as far as being, you know, reprimanded or fired from a job. I definitely understand how it can be an embarrassing thing, you know, after they've already been fired, you know. So I see that point, you know. And also, you know, I can see the other hand where, you know, it may be a good idea to show that information so that they won't be able to go to another police department and continue that same type of behavior. But on a citizen standpoint, I see, you know, there are people who have been criminally charged but haven't been convicted, and they are looked at based on those backgrounds. You know, they can easily be discriminated against, they can easily be profiled, and it's public information. So another way to show that the police officers aren't above the law, I think we all need to you know, share the same type of exposure, so to speak.
All right.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like I said before, I think there's a better way to do it, and there's more effective ways to protect the law enforcement community at large.
Yes,
but
sir.
Yeah, Johnny, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for the call.
And I mean, you think about it in terms of what you said, Jamie, that we're not always talking about criminal behavior, that a lot of times these are internal, you know, issues that happen that are employment issues, and employers in general can't share that kind of information. You know, when you talk about why somebody was fired.
In any other case.
Right.
Yeah. You would not be sharing that information.
So this is singling out police officers because of their job and giving information out potentially about them that you wouldn't be able to give out about me or Jamie or you if you lost a job. And that I don't think is fair. I think, again, you got to be consistent about that stuff.
And we'll get to news here. I'm okay with there being a line, and maybe crime versus not crime is where I draw the line, or justified violence or, you know, pattern of behavior. I'm okay with some of that. But we'll take more of your calls coming up after we go to news. It is 11:30 here on KMBZ. It's 11:35 here on KMBZ. We're talking about the story out of Oregon. And so there is a law that's been passed there that requires the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training to establish a statewide public database of officers whose certification has been revoked or suspended. The confusing thing about that a little bit is that that's not the same thing necessarily as being fired.
Yeah.
That's, you know, your certification, you know, different states have different laws about what your certification can do. And so what it means is that the state has put up online the names of over 1,700 officers whose transgressions over the last 50 years were so serious they were banned from working in law enforcement in the state. Now, I don't know the point of going back 50 years. I guess under the possibility that some of those officers may still be working. I guess if you got a job very young and you're in your 70s, I guess you maybe could still be on the job. But we're talking about whether you think that's a good idea. And it comes at a time where we don't have a required national database that would have the same information internally for police.
Well, and that's a good point, too, because you have to recognize that putting this information up online like that, what could get you fired or get your certification revoked or whatever in Oregon may not be the same as what it would be in Nevada or Texas or Kansas or Missouri.
Right. And I don't know how much information they're putting up online and how much context they're putting up online. I guess we could take a look and see if that's up online. But it's, you know, deciding whether to give you a job in another state probably requires a lot of context. But your average citizen just living in a community, I don't know how much they're going to understand about context or how much they should know. You know, what were the circumstances of that? Keeping in mind, if they've been convicted of a crime, that's up online.
I mean,
that's already public information. So you could find that out pretty easily. We'll get to your calls, 576-7798. Text in 913-576-7798. Let's go to Olathe first and get Stephen on with us. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, guys. Good topic. I think this is absolutely fantastic, if you ask me. Usually I'm on the side of defending cops, but this is amazing. If Black Lives Matter would stick to this stuff instead of all the other junk that they're trying to do on us, I would be protesting for Black Lives Matter. Listen, we need to. The difference is these men are in the public trust. If you show up to work late at Target, I don't really care. I don't really. But if you're doing it on my taxpayer dime, I want to know every single infraction these guys are doing or what they got let out of their job for, what their certification was, and we can find that out. And we can shut these guys down who are serial offenders, and we can lock them up or we can punish them civilly. I don't think we need their addresses out there, but I think this is a great thing. This should be a federal law or a state law or something. We need every single one of these bad cops to be publicly shamed, to be out there right on Front Street, parading them out for their misdeeds. This is great. I haven't liked much of the protests. I think they're a waste of time. I think tearing down statues is a waste of time. But this is a good use of your protest. Most of the time, it's just absolute nonsense. But this is something concrete that you can nail the bad guys to the wall every single time with, like you got Al Capone, you got him on tax evasion. You get them by you don't cover up the crappy stuff they do. You shine the light of this, sunlight is the best disinfectant. And I don't understand why people aren't for this. If you're not for this, man, you just give up and go home. If you're against this, give up and go home, John.
Okay, bye.
No,
seriously,
what
good does public shaming do you?
I think it's fantastic. I mean,
what does it accomplish, though?
It gives a deterrent to all the dirty cops who are putting people. I saw footage yesterday. They put some idiot cop was putting a knee on some guy's head. Even after all this stuff has happened,
it's
still happening. So let's shame the living hell out of them. I mean, I love it. I mean, if you're a bad guy, you deserve to have bad things rain down upon your head. It's
but the thing is, karma. You and I can't do anything about that, though. I mean, when it comes to putting the information out in public, what you can do is you can do something useful, like keep another police department from hiring that guy. Make that information available to them. You and I don't need it because there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, we can surely provide his current employer with the record. Maybe they don't know. Maybe he moved so far away that they don't know.
That's the point. That's why I said make it available to other law enforcement. You and I, though, can't do anything about it except, you know, wag our fingers at him and scold them.
Well, it makes me feel a whole hell of a lot better because there's been a lot.
Well, if it makes you feel better, Stephen, it's fine with me.
I mean, we had cops in Lawrence who were taking basketball tickets, and you get eight chances to pay off your fine, double your fine, and then go on your insurance. There's plenty of crappy stuff that cops do. I mean, it's just that we have to shine the light and shame everything, and then they will stop. Then they will think twice before they do it. And you know, that's if this is what it takes in America, it's like sixth graders. If this is what it takes to make them think about what they're doing, I mean, I'm not for any other protest. But if you were, this is great. I mean,
what protest do you keep referring to? Why are we talking about protests with this, Stephen?
Well,
what does that have to do with anything?
This is a form of protest. It's a form of civil disobedience. You put their names out on Front Street. I'm not saying go to their house. I'm just saying so everybody knows who the dirty cops are, who the dirty government employees are.
And then what?
That's how you stop it.
Okay. Yes, July 14th, 2020, Stephen in Olathe says cops are like sixth graders. Got it. Okay. Thanks.
I guess
he's done. You know, if I had said that.
Again, I'll come back to the fact that Oregon is treating all infractions the same, that they think that everyone, regardless of the reason they were decertified or suspended, is on equal footing. Maybe the public does deserve to know. Shoot, we have cases right now where, I mean, officers aren't even named sometimes if they're fired for being involved in a shooting, unless there are criminal charges. We've had that debate before about whether those officers should be named. I was asking this morning if we'd heard anything new about the Sedalia case, about that police-involved shooting there. It's been a while since we've heard anything about that.
Silence, yeah.
Yeah, and so we were asking questions at that point about whether those officers should be named if they're involved in a shooting. But as far as we know, there's not been an update on that yet. But to me, there's a difference, and I don't hate the idea of the public getting to know the names of officers that are involved in violence and officers, especially if it's justified. Now, if it's found to be not justified, to me, that's a different thing. If there's an investigation and the officer was found to be, you know, in the right, then, you know, they were found to be in the right. But I don't like treating all of those problems the same.
Yeah, right. And that's an excellent point because, I mean, it's a violent job sometimes. And sometimes it's necessarily a violent job. If somebody pulls a gun on a cop, you're going to get shot. And that's nobody's going to argue with that. Yeah,
oops.
Me too.
Right.
Never before. So, yeah, I mean, that's de rigueur. We know that. We understand that. So just, you know, putting out names and connecting them to incidents of violent behavior it doesn't make any sense without that kind of context. And that's my worry with something like this is that context won't be there. And they won't be able to say, yes, this officer over his career was involved in, you know, 17 complaints and 13 incidents of violence without knowing what the investigation was and what it showed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.